today.
Have you been on superhumanradio.com lately? Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I was doing some research actually about a month ago looking at different life expectancies based on different countries. And, you know, ironically, of the developing nations, the USA has the shortest, the lowest life expectancy, but we also consume the highest amount of pharmaceutical drugs. But that's not for this show. But while I was looking through this information, I noticed that there was an exception section, and it said populations these are populations that are not in developing countries, but ironically have very, very high life expectancies. And one of the populations they listed were the people from the Hunza Valley of Pakistan, the Hunza. And I thought, wait a minute, I remember the Hunza. The first time I read about the Hunza was in Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. So I called Randy Roach and said, Randy, can you come on the show? I want to talk about the Hunza. And so here he is. How you doing, Randy?
Very good, Carl.
You know, you first wrote about the Hunza in your book, and that's where I learned about them, because you use them as a model and talked about some of their nutritional origins, correct?
Yeah, they represented one of my two dietary templates, the lacto-vegetarian template, which was had some popularity in bodybuilding even in the first 50 years and continued to grow actually more after the 1960s.
So the Hunza are lacto-vegans?
Yeah, they had some small amounts of meat, but they're primarily lacto-vegetarian, and as compared to the Eskimo, who were primarily high-protein fat. So those are, like I said, the two dietary templates that the bodybuilders actually adopted that had an uncanny resemblance to these so-called primitive tribes that lived halfway around the world with totally different diets, but both of them very strong and healthy.
You know, the Hunza regularly live into their hundreds.
Yeah, there's some controversy as to the accuracy of the longevity claims. Some of the claims are going up to 130, 140, but again, they actually never really were substantiated, and they don't have that longevity anymore because of the isolation of the small piece of land. It was only 7 miles, and the encroachment of civilization and the potential overpopulation of the Hunza, their situation became compromised. And in later years in the 1950s, that became apparent. Even in 1938, when Dr. G.T. Wrench was writing about the works of Dr. Robert McCarrison, who spent time with the Hunza, he said by that time they were starting to diminish to a certain degree. They did not have that same status, still very good, but not that almost legendary status, because they are a mysterious people in a sense.
Now, when you say mysterious, what do you mean by that?
Well, their very location itself, it's right at the juncture of three or four major mountain ranges and four countries, like the northern part of India, where it meets Afghanistan, I think where China comes in there. And it's right up in the cleft of two major mountain ranges, the Himalayas and the Hindu Kush. And it's this valley, like these walls go up like 10, 15,000 feet. And I believe the Hunza Valley, where the river runs through, was at about 8,000 square feet. And these people were mysterious in the sense of their technology, agricultural technology, that some believe that they were the ancestors of Alexander the Great, because they were actually, I think, of a lighter skin, but their prowess, their physical prowess, was stand out above all the other tribes around that area. And they, again, it's like the Peruvians with the aqueducts, the staircase, the terrace gardens, where they built these tremendous aqueducts down in the Andes, and not sure who built those, because they know they preceded the Inca. They call them the megalithics. So in Hanza, or the other side of the world, there was a smaller version of these tremendous aqueducts and staircase garden terraces.
Interesting. And so, and the interesting also, you mentioned something that I did read about them possibly being descendants from Alexander the Great, but also it's thought that they are people of the lost kingdom of Shangri-La.
Well, again, there's theories. When we look at the technology of building these aqueducts, for example, let's go back to the Andes in South America and the ancient Peruvians. As they said, they call them the megalithics because they don't know exactly who they were. But it was similar to the pyramids, where these stone aqueducts, one traveling a distance of 400 or 500 miles, you couldn't stick a knife between the cracks.
Wow.
Now, again, like some of the ancient pyramids, some of the newer pyramids were far inferior. As when the Incas took over, you can see that their construction wasn't the same. It was inferior. So sometime back in antiquity, there was superior technology. And the Hanza seemed to have had this itself, because the Hanza stood out. Like, they were in the district of what's called the district or the agency, agency or district, where there's about 9 different tribes. But some of them were in terrible conditions, even the tribes that just lived on the other side of the mountains. But the Hanza stood out. There were a couple of other tribes, the Sikhs and the Pathans, that were there. They were quite superior, too. But McCarrison put the Hanza at the top, and he got to look at them to a certain degree. He actually got to study the Pathans and Sikhs more so. For political reasons, he wasn't able to deal with the Hanza as much as he would have liked to.
Now, what did he actually study about the Hanza? Did he study their diet? Was that the reason for his...
He was assigned as a regimental medical officer for the Indian troops, and he became actually the chief surgeon over between 1904 and 1911. At that point, McCarrison was an Orthodox doctor, and he still looked at things from the perspective of disease. So he was still trying to figure out, like, goiter was very prominent over there in some of the villages of Gilgit, but the Hanza did not have this. And he did a lot of research there that it was noted that he was actually relieved of his surgical duties and put under research when, I think, in, I can't remember where he was stationed, in Kamali or something. I can't remember the place. But he then began... this was at a time, I actually made a mistake in my book. I said that he had his work on essential food factors published in 1912, but he didn't. He read the works of Goland Hopkins, and who submitted his work on essential food factors. Basically, at the same time, Casimir Funk was identifying these essential food factors as vitamins. And then McCarrison immediately started thinking back, you know, with goiter and that, was this something going on with the deficiency of one of these essential food factors? So he started doing an experiment with pigeons where he thought he'd try to invoke goiter, but he realized he gave one group of pigeons a very good diet, very good cleaning conditions, and the food was actually very high quality. But the other group of pigeons, it was not. It was stripped of these as much of the nutrients as possible, and he found that the pigeons contracted polyneuritis and it were overcame by microorganisms. But the same microorganisms that were in the healthy group but under control. But when he took the healthy group and gave them this inferior diet, they too succumbed to the microorganisms.
Ah.
So that started him thinking a little bit differently.
Right. That started...
Okay, let's not look at disease here. What, we had healthy subjects here, and I'd kill them, right?
Right, right, by what they fed them, right.
He got... The World War I suspended his research, and in 1918 he picked it up again. And in 1921 he had his own book, A Study in Deficiency Diseases, and where he now was starting to think quite a bit differently. And he then was, because of World War I and the problems with nutritional problems in the war, he was asked to look basically at how they could prevent this. So that's when he studied more so the Sikhs and the Pathans.
Hey, Randy, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up where we're leaving off here.
All right.
And then I want to talk more about the Hanza diet. We're talking today with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Randy, you were talking as we went into the break about how he, I'm sorry. Really? I had your mic off, Randy. I'm sorry. I had your mic turned off. I apologize. It wasn't a form of censorship. go ahead. Pick up where you left off. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was talking about he was studying the Sikhs and Pathans. To come up with what these guys were, why were they superior, and he ended up conducting studies on rats in 1927. He was actually at the time he was now declared the director of nutritional research in India. So here's the position, 1927, where they're starting to get serious about nutritional research, even though medical academia doesn't have anything to do with it really.
Right.
But he conducted a study with rats for 27 months where he fed them diets very similar to the Hanza, the Pathans, and the Sikhs, minus the fruit. And then he had all the rats in perfect condition, clean cages, hygiene, sunshine. So everything was pristine. And then he reproduced the same conditions but gave another group of albino rats diets similar to the people of Madras and Bengal who did not have this health at all, and used their diets and came up with all the deficiency diseases that we see in our own society.
So clearly it's all diet-related.
Oh, clearly these guys established the cause and effect relationship between diet and disease at a very early stage. And this is before Weston Price even got out and did his work.
And my big frustration with all... Excuse me a second. My big frustration with all of this is you know, here in the United States, and I'm sure in Canada where you are, it's similar. You know, there's this big emphasis on health care. And the truth of the matter is if the government redirected their focus onto forcing food manufacturers to produce high-quality, nutrient-dense food instead of inexpensive cereals, carbohydrate-based products, there wouldn't be a demand for health care the way it is today because we would have less sickness.
Well, we had knowledge. We had tremendous amount of knowledge about food and soil going way back. And as I mentioned, Dr. G.T. Wrench in 1938 was already pointing out that it seemed like the government wasn't interested in making Britain independent or like self-dependent on themselves to growing their own food and say, we can't do it, ignoring the data around the world like China and such that who were easily producing that amount of food. The globalization process had already started. And it was clear that our system, prevention was gone. We were totally reactionary. And these guys like McCarrison's, Robert Halbert, who's considered the father of organic farming, Weston Price, these guys are talking about cleaning. It starts in the soil. And this is very, for any of the bodybuilders out there listening and thinking, I don't want to hear, this is absolutely necessary to understand in terms of bodybuilding because this is where it comes from. Weston Price considered these foods that are whole natural foods, bodybuilding foods, because if you don't have the nutrients coming from the soil. And Sir Robert Halbert was in India at the same time, 1905. He was, appointed the imperial economical botanist in India. And he had all the education at the time. And they were already at that time using insecticides and stuff like that.
Really?
Spraying. And he said he basically threw away his education and learned from the peasants and the fungi and insects on the plants. He referred to the fungi and the insects on the plants as nature's professors of agriculture. Because he said you don't destroy the fungi and the insects. You look at them, and they are an indicator of what's wrong in your soil. And when you fix your soils, you don't have those problems.
There's also current evidence now that's being promoted that has shown that organic vegetables are more nutritious because in order for them to survive, they have to be more robust. And that robustness translates to a greater degree of nutrients, these are better sources of food than commercially grown, you know, highly sprayed and pesticides plant, because those don't need to be as robust.
This was the crux of the matter with what Wrench was indicating, that McCarrison and Halbert were showing that. It wasn't that the Huns were eating anything different. It's the way it was growing, and these aqueducts bring in glacier water and mountain silt down onto these terrace gardens, and the way they composted. They had a knowledge of their housing had great, superior ventilation, sanitation, and water supply, and they would compost their own human waste, urine, ash from their fires. Everything would go back. The philosophy was anything that came from that soil and grown and eaten must go back into that soil, where our Western philosophy doesn't do that. We just keep stripping it, and then we try to put it back with chemicals. And
yeah,
we destroy
right,
our soil,
exactly.
Where they knew for centuries upon centuries to maintain that small amount of soil, that seven-mile stretch, that Hunza, would keep cultivating and maintaining it, the rich soil and those nutrient-dense foods. And they were, like I said, they're primarily lacto-vegetarian.
So now explain the lacto-vegan approach.
Their diet was primarily, they grew their own wheat and they stone ground it. Today we say we have garden fresh vegetables, but they kind of had garden fresh wheat where they kept the whole grain, and so the germ, the nutrition of the wheat germ was still there. They make what's chapatis, you know, this unleavened flatbread. They had buckwheat, barley. They had vegetables, sprouted pulses, such as chickpeas and lentils, that type of thing. They had other garden root vegetables, and they would have raw dairy. They'd make clarified butter, and they would make certain cheeses, and they would have meat about every 10 days. Now, it's not that they were anti-meat. It's just that their meat came from their cattle because they raised cattle. They did not eat rice. They did not have eggs because they did not have chickens. They thought chickens could destroy the soil, so they didn't have eggs in their diet. But they had a lot of fruit, apricots and mulberries. That was a really rich in fruit. They would sun-dry them, eat them raw, and use their oil, crack the stones and eat the seeds in there. And these people, like, were incredibly healthy. But most of their food was all whole natural. Much of it was eaten raw. Some of it was cooked. You know, but
now you said the chickens would they felt the chickens would destroy the soil.
Yeah.
Is it because of chicken waste, or is it because of the chickens do something to the soil? I mean, how do chickens destroy soil?
Well, chickens also will eat on pasture. Chickens will.
Okay.
Like,
I see what you're saying.
If you're going all these gardens,
gotcha.
They probably just did not have the room, and with the cattle on the way to
gotcha.
Their gardens to it. Because if you want chickens, you don't want them in a coop. You too want them on the pastures, because they'll eat insects, bugs, grass, and poop and everything.
Yeah, they eat their own poop, which is really a great trick. I wish I could learn how to do that, because I could really reduce my grocery bill dramatically.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. Dr. Ajahn Swaminathan has people eating healthy poop to fight cancer. So.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, that's another
show.
And that's a show that... Never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they only ate meat every 10 days because...
That's not sometimes. They made it more in the wintertime because they didn't. They had to. They had periods of shortages, a couple, you know... Just before the summer harvest, food was getting short because they're up there in the mountains there.
And that's what I was going to ask you about their climate, because when they couldn't grow anything and they didn't have storage-type products, they would have to turn, I would imagine, more to animal proteins.
They had their sun-dried. They make the fruit cakes with their apricots and their mulberries. They would sun-dry them, and they still hold their nutrition. They probably had their way of... You know, they would eat more meat during that time. There are some cheeses. They probably made certain cheeses that would last longer. They did not boil their milk. They did boil their butter to make clarified butter. They would have fresh butter, but to make their ghee, G-H-E-E, is called clarified butter for cooking, that they did boil that butter to create the ghee and stuff like that.
You know, and what when you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's so hard to unlock from the propaganda. And I'm thinking to myself, but butter, you know, I eat a lot of raw butter, and you know that. I mean, I literally do something that grosses my daughter Sydney out. I'll take a small demitasse spoon, and I'll scrape like a curl of butter and throw it in my mouth because I love the taste of raw butter.
Raw butter made from dairy, from cows grazing on spring grass, is the most nutritious fat there is on the planet.
And I just love the taste of it.
They don't even know, can't even identify them all.
You know what? And so, but you know, and then you watch TV and they have these commercials about, you know, butter is no good for you and so on and so forth. But here's a group of people who used butter in preparation of their food and they lived to be past 100. The majority of them, they all live long.
Oh, yeah, the Swiss Alpiners, their staple was rye and raw dairy, and their butter. They almost burnt burnt candles in their butter to give thanks to this life-giving food. And Price said their athletes would drink down an entire, you know, pint of cream before athletic events. There's no disease in these cultures. In fact, they noted back then that the cultures that even in the Balkans and all around Asia that drank the raw dairy, there's far less tuberculosis than in any of the places where it was pasteurized. They already knew in 1938 that pasteurization was doing something to the milk that was not.
Isn't it terrible? But the government didn't turn back because they're greed driven. Governments are greed driven. It's disgusting. And we're the ones that are suffering. They've sold us down the river. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, pay some bills. We'll be right back with more of Randy Roach.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I just want to mention something. We've got a couple freebies going on at superhumanradio.com. If you visit the website, we've got two things that you can get absolutely free. There's no cost to have it shipped to you. You can try it out. The first one is a pre-workout product by Applied Nutraceuticals called Drive, and it is a stimulant-free pre-workout product. So you can, for those of you who train late in the evening, this would be an ideal product for you because you can take it and still go to sleep. If you go to superhumanradio.com and look for the Drive banner, click it, you can get yourself a free trial sample of Drive sent right to you. The other thing is a topical ibuprofen product that I periodically use myself. It's called Ibunex. I really like this stuff. I'm totally opposed to NSAIDs for a variety of reasons. And this is a topical ibuprofen product. You rub it on a joint where you have pain. The pain literally goes away immediately. You don't have to worry about it taxing your GI tract or your kidneys or your liver. Again, superhumanradio.com. Look for the Ibunex banner. Click it, and you can get a free sample of Ibunex to try out yourself. So we're talking today with Randy Roach. We're talking about the Hunza, people of Pakistan who have unusually long lifespans, and they don't use any of the pharmaceutical drugs we use here, and they eat lots of foods that we're being told are not healthy for you. Randy, in your book, you also wrote about the Hunza. They had amazing physiques, didn't they?
Yeah, they were physically, they're considered specimens. They could traverse mountainside. They could go a distance of 60 miles, can do their business and walk back and think nothing of it. They had a certain way about them that other tribes could recognize that from a far distance, anybody going across the mountainside, that it was a Hunza just by his gait, just by his stride. They, when any athletic events, that they were never defeated amongst the other tribes. Like I said, the Pathans and the Sikhs got very close, but like McCarrison said, nobody could top the Hunza and their abilities. And they're the ones who had this, but there's something with this group, because they had that technology. They had those terrace gardens, and those things aren't easy to build. But right. And those aqueducts, and they go across mountain ranges.
Yeah,
now,
obviously.
These guys are tremendous, and the mountain height, you know, the mountain air too probably helped, but I mean the diet. Some of the other mountaineers did not have this, so it wasn't just the mountain air, right? So,
right, it had, and that's why you come back to the nutrition. I mean, that's what I always come back to, especially at the beginning of the show when you explained how they reproduce some of these diseases just by changing the diet of the test animals.
Yeah, no, like I always say, it's not just the food in your life, it's the life in your food, man. It's the powers in the food. All you like, you're talking about pre-workout supplements and stuff, but look at these guys. They're just in the power in your food. But our food isn't like that.
No.
Our food isn't like that. So maybe there is an argument for a certain level of supplementation, but too, it's for quality supplements. But we got to fix our soil.
Well, I'll tell you the argument I want to make. For 2009, I think people now start to, those of you who have a patch of land in a backyard, you need to start thinking about creating your own home garden.
Because they're doing that in Russia. They're giving them 2.5 acres, a hectare of land. They're calling it dachas. They're going back to the land. See, what's the problem with globalization is they are basically government politics have been set up to trash the family farm. Something like 2 million small dairy farms in the United States have gone since the 1950s. You have to reverse this conglomerate,
right,
this consolidation of all the land, because this mass conglomerate farming is destroying the food.
The first step is to start doing it yourself in a very, very small way, whether you've got a small patch of land or you've got a window box. But you need to start growing your own vegetables. And it's not a big deal. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know what? The preparation is the biggest part. You pick your area, you prepare the soil, you plant your seeds. You know, if you're too lazy to water, you can get, they've got those beautiful serpentine hoses that have little holes in them, and you just turn the thing on and it sprays water on them, you turn it off and you're done. You know, and you don't have to make a big deal about it. You don't have to try to grow the largest tomato in the world. Just grow your own vegetables and start eating your own vegetables. Even if that only makes up 30% of the vegetables you eat during the spring and summer months, it's still better than, and you're not paying the prices for organics, you're not using pesticides. And you're using a piece of land that nothing has been grown on, so chances are there's lots of nutrients in that soil still. It hasn't been depleted.
Unfortunately, there's movements going on that most people don't have a clue and don't even want to hear to believe it. There's movements going on in politics to take away your right to even grow anything.
Oh, I'm going to have a guy on the show next week who writes for the Weston A. Price Foundation. He happens to live here in Louisville.
Who is it?
John, I can't think of his name now, John something, but I don't remember his last name.
Okay.
But we're going to be talking about this. The large poultry companies are pushing to have all animals receive a chip so they can be tracked. But the beauty of their approach is the larger companies like Purdue and so on would only have to chip 1 out of every 100 animals because it wouldn't be cost-effective and prudent to chip her. But the small farmer would have to chip every single animal, which will make it prohibitive for him to even have livestock for resale.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I mean. All the laws and politics are being set up to put the small farmer out of business. In fact, it's really sad. The Weston Price Foundation has to put out legal advice to small farmers as how to defend themselves when the government agencies come to their farm, either to put their animals down or to make them sign up for some other legislation that's going to put them out of business. Because it's really disgusting that we're allowing it. And the media doesn't cover any of it.
No, my farmer, the guy I used to buy my milk from, I switched actually, but because the guy I used to buy my milk from got out of the milk business because his name was Gary Oakes, a Mennonite guy with like 6 kids, hard worker. He worked from morning to night milking cows, selling milk. And the DEA and the Cincinnati Police Department converged on him and arrested him for delivering milk to people. Like, you would have thought this guy was the kingpin crack cocaine dealer, the way they
came. I know. My supplier, raw milk up here in Canada, they did over in Europe, I think they did the movie called Farmer Bioterrorist. Michael Schmidt, he's been raided twice, once in 94, once 2 years ago. And now he's going to court in 2009, and he's become, you know, a real crusader. And a lot of people who don't drink raw milk are starting to stand up and say, what's going on? Like, I mean, they recognize their right to choose. The mandate of my book is not just to tell the history, what I feel is a true history of bodybuilding and nutrition, but do a wake-up call to the fitness industry that you're going to lose your rights to even get supplements. Codex Alimentarius is coming up in the most media blackout. It's been on the books since 1962. In 1995, I think the WTO kind of activated in a way, and it is growing power, and we are losing our rights to choose. We are losing our rights to have quality foods to eat, quality foods to go into the resources for quality supplements. And people got to wake up.
You know what?
I'm going to pick up on it big.
I got an email from a fella in France who listens to my show. And he wants me to do a show on Kodak because he can't even buy creatine monohydrate without a prescription now.
Yeah, I know. And see, where's he from?
From somewhere outside of Paris.
That's right. And over here in the United States, everybody I talked to in the United States, he said, no way, we got Xi to protect us. I said, look, that's going to be overwritten because of these new trade laws at WTO, and we got all this globalization going on, that there's going to be any kind of trade dispute, who's ever part of the WTO and has adopted Codex on Materials, they're automatically going to win. So people have to realize what's going on and wake up and contact their LPR MPs down there, your congressmen and stuff like that. Well, they're mostly bought off anyways. It's pathetic. You know, look at this financial situation going down with the Wall Street and the bailouts and stuff. Like, who are these guys representing, right? Who knows?
Oh, it's just like the Food and Drug Administration does not represent the people.
No.
They represent the people that they talk to on a daily basis, and that's the food manufacturers and the drug manufacturers. They don't give a damn about us.
And you know who the biggest proponents against them are? The people who worked there and left and said, these people aren't working for you.
Right.
Do you know
that every time a new drug is presented to the FDA, whether it actually makes the market or not, do you know that they pay $1 million every time a new drug is just presented? Mm-hmm. In order to present the drug to the FDA, it costs $1 million entry fee. Let's call it an entry fee. And do you know the multitude of drugs that never make it, but those companies pay $1 million just to present them to the FDA? The FDA is making money hand over fist. They love the idea that all these drugs are coming out of the woodwork. They don't care that the polypharmacy is what's killing these old people today.
No, and there's like you said, it's an open door. It's a revolving door between the employees of the FDA who go to work for the pharmaceutical companies and back and forth. They'll go work for the pharmaceutical companies to develop a product, then they'll go work for the FDA and then get it approved, and you know, out they go again. There's
disgusting.
Been books written on that very topic. Of that revolving door between the FDA and pharmaceutical industry.
It's really disgusting. It's a terrible thing. And the reason it's disgusting is because we have one life to live, regardless of what religion you are and you think you're coming back. We have one life to live, and these companies don't give a crap about our lives, and they just as soon as watch us die.
They don't want to see. It's basically 100 years ago, they declared our bodies their market.
Yeah,
and
right.
They basically, like I said, they let the... they let the food industry, see, nobody was going to have any, I called it a dietary dumbdown in 1910 it began, and nobody was going to be around to police the exploding food industry. So the food industry was going to cultivate a nice breeding ground for disease, and the orthodox medical system with their drugs was not going to cure it. They're just going to mitigate it because there's a lot of money, and as bizarre as that sounds to people, prevention was out, it's still out, and like this, guys like McCarris and Price, Pottinger, Vilderman, Stephanson, preaching prevention, preaching the power of nutrition and food and its relationship with disease. All their work was thrown out. It was just thrown out.
Yeah.
In 1939, McCarrison was doing a speech, so was Albert Howard in Britain, dealing with this medical testament of the time, where only like 31 physicians were trying to get the orthodox system to go preventative. You know, talking about the power of food. Like
there's no money. There's no money in prevention. There's no money in prevention. It's a sad, sad situation. Hey, Randy, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% 10% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released, high-energy, chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Randy Roach. If you haven't gotten this book yet, you really have to get it. I mean, this is a must-read book for anyone out there who is interested in nutrition, exercise. I don't care if you're a bodybuilder or a weekend warrior. This book is so valuable. There's so much information in this book. A lot of people know that this book changed the direction of my show to a certain degree, just because of the things that I learned when reading it. But, Randy, you were talking a little while ago about, and we've kind of covered the Hunza, but you were talking a little while ago about the Eskimos and how their diet was kind of opposite of the Hunza.
Yeah, because look at bodybuilding. You know, in bodybuilding, the primary diet for the most part, even beyond the mid part of the century, was high protein, good high amount. They weren't afraid of fat, and carbohydrates were kept controlled. But there was another diet, the model of basically that lacto-vegetarian, like Bernard McFadden. It was uncanny. McFadden's diet was almost identical to the Hunza, and he probably would not have had much information on the Hunza at that time. You know, there's the way they I'm not going to reveal everything about the model of their foods. I didn't have to read something. But contrasting that was the work of Wilhelm Stefansson, a Canadian anthropologist who lived at the same time. What's uncanny with Stefansson and McCarrison, they're both born within 2 years of each other in, I think, 1868, 1870, and both died within a year or two of each other in 1962.
Wow.
We're both working close at the same time, opposite sides of the world, with two different primitive cultures. And these diets were diametrical to each other, yet these both cultures had strength, longevity. Stefansson's Eskimos weren't as long-lived. He was dealing with, they had already been kind of compromised by it with civilization and smoking and stuff like that.
Right,
the whaling ships and that. But they were still pretty much without disease. Weston Price studied more so with the Eskimos as well. But Stefansson lived, and he ate primarily all animal products. And when he came back, Orthodox medicine did not believe him, that he could live without carbohydrate. And they ended up setting up this one-year experiment in Bellevue Hospital in New York, where this blue ribbon panel of Orthodox medicine studied Stefansson and his cohort, Carlson Anderson, I think his name was. And because they want, they expected bone deterioration, osteoporosis. They expected scurvy and stuff, but they did not find this. But because they knew that, like Stefansson went on to write later, recommending to any Arctic explorer to not to try to bring canned vegetables to prevent scurvy or fruits. Eat the fresh meat, the vitamin C in the fresh meat. So again,
now were they eating raw meat at Bellevue? Or were they eating cooked meat?
In Bellevue, they were eating cooked meat, but when he lived with the Eskimos, it was primarily raw.
That's frozen. What I was going to say, because I thought he was eating raw meat when he was with the Eskimos.
Not all raw. A lot of it was raw. You know, it was the same meals all the time, you know, boiled or frozen fish or raw fish. And there was a time when they were eating seal when they would left. Sometimes they'd eat twice a day. Sometimes they would eat several pounds a day.
Yeah.
And these Eskimos were strong, man. Like, they could carry, I know Western Price noted that they were known to be able to carry 100 pounds in each hand, another 100 pounds in their teeth. I tried this one time.
Did you really?
6 years ago, when I was writing an article, I thought, "Come on!" So I took a 100-pound dumbbell in each hand, and I did the farm. You know the farmers carry, right?
Yeah, sure.
I walked around. I said, "Okay, that wasn't too bad. A lot of guys can do that." Okay, now the teeth part. So I thought, "When am I going to do this?" I said, "I'm not going to yank my teeth out here." So I thought, "I'll get a towel, wrap 50 pounds."
Dumbbell, right, that's what I was just thinking about,
yeah,
the stem,
and
right.
I'll put the towel on my teeth, and I'll prick the 50 pounds out with my teeth, and the other 100-pound dumbbell each hand. I thought, holy smokes, this is awkward. Like, can you imagine that was 100 pounds in your mouth, 100 pounds in each hand, that's 300 pounds, and you're walking around on terrain, right?
Right.
So I thought, well, in the article, so I tipped my hat to the Eskimo there, so for being able to pull that stuff.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. You know, it's interesting that... you know, when I looked at pictures of the Hunza, which, by the way, the Hunza are also known as the Barucho, I want to say, yeah.
I've not heard that. I know that they're Muslim, but they're a little bit more liberal Muslim. And like I said, their ancestry is, like, questionable. And there may be other names for Hunza Cut and stuff to refer to them, but I've not heard that. That's possible. But
well, the Hunza are also referred to, the name Barucho comes from their language, apparently, which is Barushaski.
Okay.
And they're predominantly Muslim, but that's their specific language, and I guess they call them the Barucho as a result of that.
They like wine. They're a little bit more liberal Muslim. They like wine.
Yeah, there you go. So they're fun. They're the fun Muslims. But you know what? It's the interesting thing about them is, you know, when you talk about the terrain, one of the things that you brought out was, you know, when you could see one of them making it across the mountain range, you could tell just by their gait. They almost ate more of a diet similar to that of an endurance athlete, in my opinion, where the Eskimos seem to be eating diets more like that of a strength or a strength athlete.
Yeah, but the Eskimos had spent a lot of time out at sea in their kayaks, man. Even
in terrible weather,
they all had endurance. They all had strength. They're both known for strength and endurance. All the primitive cultures that even Weston Price studied, the Moray of New Zealand, the Australian Aborigines, the several African tribes, and Samburu, Maasai, you know, these are a lot of raw milk drinkers there too. And the Peruvian Indians, Melanesians, Polynesians, these guys are all big and strong and endurance. Remember Armand Tanny? He went to the islands, the Hawaiian Islands, during just after the war as a wrestler, and he saw the Samoans who were there at the time also eating all this raw meat and raw insects, and he said, these guys were amazing. That's
right.
Why Tanny came back, shut off his stove. He actually read Weston Price's book, Nutrition Physical Generation, and he went on to win the Mr. USA and the Mr. Pro America. And the Mr. USA at the time was the Mr. Olympia.
Oh, really?
At that status. So, yeah, Gramick won the first one. Like, I mean, so it was the premier. You know, Mr. USA.
So he turned his stove off and he ate raw foods for...
Oh, yeah, raw meat. Our man's 90 years old. He still eats...
He's alive today?
Yeah, he's still alive today. He's right. Jeff Everson... sees him on occasion, says it physically, like he's he remembers our man's palms at one time. You could see from the heavy weights. Our man could power clean 300 pounds with one arm.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
really?
And he was a strong guy, and like he's still, one thing he said that there was two women that kind of followed his way, and he said they were still beautiful at 70. Raw foods preserve youth. That's what, remember you had Dr. Ron Schmidt on the air with me 2 years ago?
Right.
He said, don't even talk to me about anti-aging unless you have raw foods in that diet.
But, you know, you see, and I love raw. I ate raw eggs today already. I mean, so I eat the raw eggs. I drink the raw milk. The problem that I have with raw meat at this point in time is questionable sources. When I can get my farmer to give me some recently processed meat, I'll eat it raw. But it becomes difficult for me to eat it regularly raw. And you know what's interesting? I just want to bring up a point. I bought some buffalo, and I ate some of it raw. And one of the things I noticed about buffalo, as well as the raw beef that I, the farm fresh beef that I buy, along with this farm fresh buffalo, the fat is a different color than, it's not white fat. It's kind of a yellowish fat, almost like the color of pale corn.
And as a blind guy, I can't really tell that. But actually, as eating raw, sometimes being blind might be a benefit. But
yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure as to why.
That's a good one.
If this is quality wild game in itself, it's probably a good thing. But I eat about a pound of raw meat a day, sometimes more. See, people almost faint when they finally eat raw chicken, right?
Yeah, I'll never forget. I got more emails that day that you did a show with me 2 years ago where you said to me, you know, because your site was compromised and you left the chicken breast out on the countertop all night long and then the next day realized it was there. And
that was so hard. It was getting hard and crusty. I don't think it was all night. It was about 8 hours during the day, and I tapped in my fingers, and I was getting tired of throwing it out when I was doing that. I just got ticked off and ate it.
And you ate it. And everybody, and so many people emailed me and said, did I hear him right? Did he have a raw chicken breast that was out on the countertop all day, and he ate it, and he didn't get sick?
Yeah, like I said, there's so much more. That's, like I said, that's a different show. That gets into the whole germ theory. We are basically a fat-phobic, germ-phobic, carbohydrate cultivated culture, and it's been done that way on purpose.
Well, we're basically veal. You know what? Maybe it's true. Maybe the aliens did set up this planet, and they're just waiting for us to eat the right food so that we're just nice. We're mushy and soft and weak and flabby, and then they can just come down and eat us.
Yeah, that's one of the theories out there, isn't it? There's a lot. There's a lot of theories out there. Yeah, I think I've heard them all.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe the alien theory, but I do believe that we are being promoted through mass marketing.
Well, we are cattle. We are referred to as cattle. We are herded like cattle, politically, and for, you know, like I said, like it's just these powerful multinational corporations. They run the show. They run the show. You can't research any of this stuff and come walking away with anything different unless your head's buried in the sand.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. And you know what? I was just thinking about it when you said we are cattle. It's true. You know, if you take an animal and place it in captivity, it may avoid eating foods it doesn't like for a while, but eventually it starts to eat them because it has no other choice.
Yeah, one interesting thing that Rentsch was talking about in 1938, Dr. G.T. Rentsch, that man has lost his instincts. Like he was talking about how grain, comparing the grain of the Hunza, the breads of the Hunza with the breads of the Briton. Oh, by the way, McCarrison also did a study on the albino rats where he fed the English diet of white bread, boiled meat, and then pasteurized milk, and it was disgusting what happened to the rats. They actually started to become cannibalistic and eating their young.
They got tired of eating that crap.
Jesus, it was disgusting. But looking at the fact that powder, white flour and whole grain flour, that how most of the civilization will go for the white flour, showing that we do not have the proper instinct to protect ourselves where we should know better. We'll just go for that whatever tastes good or whatever, not necessarily what's nutritious for
us. You know, it's funny. Every time you and I do a show and we talk about raw food, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go to Kroger's. There's this product here in the United States called Laura's Lean Beef. It's organic. It's not pasture fed. That's the problem, but it's organic. And that's really where the magic is. You know, pasture fed, the fat is different, but it's organic and hormone free. And every time you and I do a show and we talk about raw meat, and I think, you know, I'm just not eating enough raw meat. I always end up going out and getting a pound of raw chopped meat and eating it in a day.
I would like to put a warning out there for those people who want to, whether they're going to eat raw meat or cooked meat, when they want to go for lean meat. Remember in Bellevue, Viljamar Stefansson feared lean meat, because animal products come with fat for a reason. It comes with a lot of fat-soluble vitamins, other fat-soluble activators that work in the process and assimilation.
As a matter of fact, didn't you say in that chapter that when they were eating lean, that's when they were getting sick, but once they added fat into it, they revived?
That's where the term rabbit hunger came from. The Eskimos knew how to take care. They procured fat over the wintertime, and they would hunt the caribou with the big 40-pound slab of fat on them, and they were concerned over times when the wild game was too lean. And Stefansson, they got sick. It took him a couple of weeks when there was a period of time where he couldn't get enough fat. So when he was in Bellevue for that 1 year study, the doctor wanted to treat him just as lean muscle meat as possible, and Stephenson didn't want to. And he said he ended up getting sick in 3 days. But then they just added fat. Like, he was eating brains and any type of fatty meats that he wanted to do, and reversed it back again. So there's something to be concerned. See, remember bodybuilding, lean, skim milk, fat-free meat. It can make you lose body fat, but that's not necessarily synonymous with good health.
Well, and I think that bodybuilding has come around because of proponents like Dr. DePasquale and even my friend Dave Palumbo. I mean, you know, he's a big proponent of healthy fats and high healthy fat consumption. And, you know, a lot of bodybuilders are now, they understand that you cannot be afraid of fats. You have to embrace them. You just have to choose wisely.
Well, the late 80s, early 90s, we hit a point of insanity where we were trying to get to a zero percentage fat diet, and it was ridiculous. It had no historical precedence whatsoever, and it was very detrimental to the human body. In fact, it accelerated the aging process.
Porter Cottrell told me a story once. I don't remember what competition he was getting ready for, but it was one of the top competitions. I don't think it wasn't an Olympia, but it was another high-level competition that he was getting ready for. He went into the gym. And, you know, and Porter is very honest about what he was using. You know, he was using clenbuterol at the time and this and that and all this. He went into the gym to train legs. He was about a week or two out from this competition. He was completely carbohydrate depleted. And at that time, the approach was no fat. He had no fat. You know, he was not eating any fat. He was very, very low on fat. He walked into the gym. He remembered thinking that he felt emotionally weird, he said. He got under the bar, he had his trained legs, he started squatting, and he couldn't even get through his squat routine. He went out to the car, and he just broke down and started crying for no reason at all. And he said, you know, there was nothing wrong in my life at that time. My life was great. He goes, but I just became, there was something wrong. I just couldn't figure out what it was. He went home, and I hope I'm telling the story right, and he can call me and tell me if I got any of it wrong, but this is pretty much the gist of it. He went home, he said he was craving like olive oil or something. He just had this, he went and he got a thing of olive oil. And because he was, you know, the mantra was no fat, he started to dole it out in teaspoons and just taking a teaspoon. Then he went back and got some more. And after about the fourth or fifth teaspoon of oil that he had taken in over the course of about 30 minutes, all of a sudden this sense that he had just disappeared. And he said that's when he realized how critical fat is.
On the cover of volume one of my book, it says, the second byline says, The Birth of Bodybuilding and Its Amazing Nutritional Origins. The nutritional origins were amazing because of the whole natural food perspective back then. But in the second one, those amazing origins evolved into a very questionable legacy. Some of the practices of bodybuilding at one time led the world in nutritional knowledge, but we got crazy for a while, you know, but like I said, what impacted us? Like, I talk about the forces that actually impact and penetrated bodybuilding, because they were pretty tight in their way of doing things, and we changed drastically. And now some of it still hasn't changed back, but some people are changing back. But I'm trying to get the true history of nutrition, because from that, the pioneers of bodybuilding picked up from those nutritional pioneers. Like, Irvin Johnson was knowledgeable, and so was Vince Gironda and Bob Guida. A lot of, you know, those guys and Don Holworth, they knew about food. But Gironda and Blair were probably above, but Bailick was knowledgeable in nutrition. These guys read, the nutritional pioneers of that time. They read outside the schools and got those works. Like, Gironda recommended to John Bailick, I think he gave him the book, not just only recommended Nutrition and Physical Generation, but Not by Bread Alone by Viljamar Stefansson. And Gironda was writing about the works of McCarrison back in the 70s, and the works of Albert Schweitzer, the works of Mr. Stephenson, although Weston Price too as well. He knew about these guys.
And what about Pottinger?
Francis Pottinger, actually, it's very, you know, was using cats, carnivore, but still, he was just proving more of the works of Price by showing what happens when you feed cats whole raw natural foods, and the same foods pasteurized and boiled, and
right.
He couldn't get past. He predicted back at that time, we had all the orphanages. He predicted this era of sterility,
yeah.
And they knew what was going to happen. They couldn't get past the third generation of cats, and they were going rangy. They had all the skeletal anomalies we see as heart gainers and everything. Oh, less vascularization of soft tissues and psychological issues and all the other things that won't.
Hey, Randy, we're coming to the end of the show here. I want to tell everybody out there once again, if you don't have a copy of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, then you are really missing out on a great informational product that will change the way you look at everything in your life. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not just pimping the book. It's really the greatest book I've read in a long time. Get a copy. Go to randyroach.ca and get your copy of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Hey, Randy, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you, Carl.
Talk to you again soon. Okay, so that's today's show.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman.